RBC, we help make your idea of the perfect house happen so that you can make that house a home. With limited time offers including cashback and fee waivers, now is the time to get started. To learn more and to pre-qualify today, visit rbc.com/mortgageideas. RBC, ideas happen here.
You work hard for your money, so let your money work hard for you. With as little as $1,000 to start, you can watch your money grow by investing in CFAL's Bahamian dollar and U.S. dollar mutual funds, each tailored to match your unique investment profile. Our expert advisors are dedicated to crafting personalized investment strategies to help you achieve your financial goals. Don't miss out on the chance to earn higher returns on your hard-earned money. Join the thousands of investors who trust CFAL and start your journey toward financial freedom today. Visit us at cfal.com to learn more about our saving and investment options. And let us help you build wealth so you can live well. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Vine Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Okay, first thing 9 a.m. The white boyfriend got a checklist. Wait for you to come sign in. Then ask if you had breakfast. She probably gon' say no, even though her man cook a sausages. Bacon, egg, and grits. Wait, my maid up forgot this. Lunchtime he gon' slide up. Crack some joke inside her office. Compliment about her bongi. Say that look like the softest. Now it's 4 minutes to five. He say, come miss, let me hug this. Then smell a sweet perfume. She say, you know that I love this. So if she need a...
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to start the show by saying congratulations to all of the artists that won awards at this year's Elevation Awards. That song you heard just now, Work Boyfriend by Johnny Cake, won the Traditional Song of the Year Award, as well as the Song of the Year Award. And Johnny Cake also won the New Artist of the Year Award. And to our other friend at On the Clock, Shine 2421, Male Artist of the Year. Male Artist of the Year. I tell you guys, don't sleep on these two Bahamian phenom. They like a duo, but they don't duo, right? These guys, when they're working together, you're certain to get the best out of whatever it is they are producing. But just another point, y'all don't sleep on Shine. Shine created a song for the 50th Independence celebrations. I don't think he submitted it to the competition, My Bahamas. And it is a wonderful anthem that takes nothing away from the formal and informal winners of the competition, My Bahamas. So congratulations to Shine and Johnny Cake. And the reason why I'm highlighting these two artists is because, you see, we had this situation with the Vybz Kartel concert. We had a little controversy around Julian Believe's response to the audience response to his performance at the concert. But then we also had vendors that raised concerns about the organization of the event in terms of the flow of traffic to and from the vendors. We had patrons raising concerns about the organization or lack thereof in terms of the entry procedures. One individual claimed that they were on the line waiting to get into the venue for 2 hours, right? And so I realized that the problem isn't Julian Believe or the Bahamian people, although that's a wonderful conversation and there's lots to critique within it. I think this instance is a matter of poor organization from the organizer's side, eh? Because here's what I mean. I done tell Shine and Johnny Cake in the next year, I expect to see them with a consultancy firm, an arts, creative arts consultancy firm, so that when organizers attempt to host events with major international stars, that we can curate a local performance that fits what it is the headliner intends to bring and the promoters the intend to create. Julian believes issue is not a lack of talent, but perhaps a lack of direction. Because somebody should have told Julian, man, look here. Take your three most popular songs and turn them into reggae rhythms. Turn them into a reggae song. Do a reggae cover. Take three of the most popular Bahamian rake and scrape songs that you know everybody knows the lyrics to, and then perform a reggae cover of that. And that's how you create or become a part of the ambiance that those are trying to create. Anyway, y'all keep your eyes on Shine and Johnny Cake. These two guys are doing big things in Bahamian music. I also want to take a moment to say congratulations to the Agri Expo team for hosting a massive event this weekend. The Agri Business Expo returned this past weekend with the theme Food Security is Our Priority. Over 80 food and artisan vendors, exhibits from local farms, fisheries, agribusinesses. They had live demonstrations on modern farming techniques, aquaponics, and sustainable fishing practices. They had panel discussions on climate-smart agriculture, food processing, agribusiness development, and hands-on workshops on backyard farming, soil health, and pest management. The youth and agriculture segment highlighted young Bahamians' contributions to the industry. There were family-friendly activities, and the Battle of the Islands culinary competition was exciting and the spot to be for the entire event. Approximately 13 schools with agricultural programs participated along with farmers from across the family islands. I wanted to give it a brief shout out. I did not participate in the expo this year as a vendor, but at some point I would like to offer some critique. The biggest point of critique I have is that this event was not marketed sufficiently. It was not promoted sufficiently. And it feels like a lot of Bahamians missed a good, good time. Yeah. A lot of Bahamians missed a good, good time. Also, I want to say to the Ministry of Fisheries, when you're going to let me rent a lobster, man, when you're going to let me rent a lobster for my Airbnb experience, man. I went out there to the Agribusiness Expo trying to get into some agribusiness, right? And if these people then could have yoga with goats and yoga with flamingos, then I could have swimming with lobsters, except you don't actually swim with the lobster because there ain't enough space in the tub, right? But the point is, you could have a swimming with the lobster, singular, because you can't have two together and everything goes out of control. Or we could have riding with mutton or bucking goats. I mean, but anyway, they would not rent me not one animal for my Airbnb experience. And that was perhaps the most disappointing part of this year's Agribusiness Expo. All right, so I've got like an open line this morning. I have a subject that I want to talk about, but I also want to hear what's on your mind today. What did I miss over the weekend? So the numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, text line 422-GR96. Now, I have something prepared, but I want to open the line. So please feel free to call in, and if you're disrupting the conversation, it's okay. Here's what I wanted to talk about. So this weekend, in fact, this morning, early hours of the morning, there was a tragic traffic accident on or at the at an intersection with Shirley Street. I'm pulling up the story right now. Police are investigating a traffic accident that occurred in the early hours of Monday, April the 7th. resulting in the death of a motorcyclist. The incident took place shortly before 1 a.m. on Shirley Street near Highland Terrace. The crash involved a green, white, and black Kawasaki motorcycle ridden by a male who sustained serious injuries after colliding with a lamp post. Investigations into the matter are ongoing. Please continue to investigate because we're going to continue talking about it. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. There were 7. Now there are 5. They're going down tragically.
Okay. Oh, them said it.
Yeah, them said.
Ah. There were 7. Now there are 5.
There were 7 about a month ago.
Well,
now
right.
There are 5.
We've now the formal, right? We know that Lewis has formally left.
Yes.
And Pintard announced formally, officially, that Minnis will not receive.
No more nomination.
Well, I mean, but do you think it's likely that Adrian Gibson could get the nomination?
No.
So let's just drop it to 4 one time.
And do you believe it's likely that Crazy Thompson would get a nomination?
For whom? Oh, you're saying it's likely that he won't get a nomination?
No.
No,
pick them off 1-1.
But okay, 2 things. Who's doing the picking off? And second thing, and it seems like Crazy is doing a, well, it appears as if Crazy is doing a good job.
Cousin of Dr. Minnis. Crazy Thompson was one of, don't forget now, all of them who were running against Pintard for leader, they are now being picked off.
Okay, but now, hold on. But Crazy doing a good job for the party.
Yeah, but that's all right. Minnis was doing a good job for the party, too.
Was he?
Minnis cared a minute.
I don't know what happened.
Government.
He did what? He carried the what?
Took the party to government.
I mean, that's not really how it works. I mean, like, because you're telling me he just decided which train to get on. It's not like he was driving the train. It's not like he built the train. It's not like he fueled the train.
But he won.
I mean, I can't even say that he won. See, here's what I'm saying. Like, we can't even say that he won versus the PLP loss.
But Ms. Green.
Yeah.
What would happen if Dr. Minnis, he's a doctor, miss and take the wrong pills, and then he go to Parliament Wednesday, he decides he wants to join the COI?
I don't understand why you, because here's what I would say. If he takes the wrong pill and decides he's going to join the COI, and say he decides to say that out loud at the next available opportunity in Parliament,
it'd be Wednesday.
I would say that Mr. Minnis does not believe sufficiently in himself to be able to represent anybody. Because to go from being a prime minister to joining a party that has never won a seat in the House, you might as well start your own party, because you also would not have won a seat in the House as your own party.
But now listen, Dr. Minnis, I got to go on this point.
Okay.
Dr. Minnis has a crew. I don't want them to believe they can put Dr. Minnis out and Dr. Minnis going out by himself. When they put Dr. Minnis out, they put a lot of FNMs out.
So the point I'm making is, I think it's more likely that Minnis would form his own party. And see, Fred Mitchell said something in one of those articles last week that suggested to me that the PLP are actively courting Lewis, right? They're actively courting Lewis. Then, when I see that, thank you very much, caller. When I see that Clint Watson had announced that he would host Bain and Lewis almost immediately after the decision was announced on his show, The Rundown, and then on social media, I saw these pictorial conversation and pictures, right? With somebody saying that Lewis did not appear on The Rundown, that only Bain appeared on The Rundown, and Lewis appeared on Jerome Sawyer's show. Right? So that would suggest to me that there's a lot of politics happening. That Lewis understood the gravitas, like the weight that transitioning to the COI would give him as an individual, but was not yet convinced firmly that that's where he's going to lie. Anyways, just those little words by Mr. Mitchell, I read them several times last week that suggested maybe the PLP is courting Lewis. But Minnis, I think, would stand a better chance forming his own party, pulling Lewis in with him, and any rejects, any nomination rejects, pull them all in. Any PLP nomination rejects, pull them in as well. Because you can't convince me that you can lead if you have already been a prime minister and you're not, pun intended, brave enough to start your own party. Here's a text. Minnis is not completely innocent. However, neither is Pintard, and Dr. Sands, the FNM, does a great job. And Dr. Sands, the FNM, does a great job cannibalizing its own. And results disastrous. This is a mistake. What Pintard has done, and they are caught up in their own echo chamber, head hard, they will feel. Interesting text. Yeah, and so I don't think it bodes well for Minnis to put himself in a position where he would still be wrangling for leadership. You've already been a prime minister. Start your own party. That's what I expect. If you look at today's Guardian, FNM axes Minnis. Pintard confirms former PM won't get nomination. Now, here's the next thing. I don't know if it bodes well for the FNM. I would have kept Minnis, and I just would have worked harder to curtail. The text says, if the PLP reject you, you in a bad state. You are in a bad state. I can read briefly from that article. Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard said yesterday he has asked Killarney MP Dr. Hubert Minnis, the party's former leader and a former prime minister, not to run in the next general election. Pintard made the revelation to a crowded room of FNMs at the party's Mackey Street headquarters. Quote, the reality is, not everybody is going to serve as a candidate in order for us to keep, we're going to page six, in order for us to demonstrate that we value them, said Pintard, who was surrounded by Deputy Leader Shenandoah Cartwright, FNM Chairman Dr. Dwayne Sands, and Secretary General Serfant Rolle. So to the caller, is that what sort of prodded your thinking that on the most important stage of the year for the FNM, Kwesi Thompson wasn't up there? Just Pintard, Cartwright, Sands, and Rolle? I would have won. I mean, even if they just tucked me on the side, in the side pocket. Here's another tip. There we go. No, I ain't reading that. Sorry, Texter. All right, I got another call, and then I'm going to get back to what I wanted to talk about. I think it's very interesting. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I haven't called your show for a little while, but I'm always listening in and listening to the voices of the Bahamian people. You know, I think with this particular incident that we have in front of us at this particular moment, it shows the importance of persons on the scene and, if required to, or the post of, how important it is to have someone to succeed them, especially if you are the candidate or the representative or any particular constituency, that you would have someone that you would basically have under your wing, going through the processes, beating the people. So when one person exits, the next person is so familiar with the people that they can then take over that realm if required. We have this mindset that, hey, if one person has sat in the seat for so long that they are in that seat for life, we have to prepare our country to be progressive.
Jeff, I have a different model.
Yeah.
My model is this, is that your party should operate in a way that it models how government is supposed to operate, right?
Agreed.
And if that is such, because that's the place where you test, where you show us that you can handle the obligations and the statutory requirements of governance, right? But your party in its operation should reflect to anybody within the mechanism what is expected of them at any level. It should operate with a type of transparency that I don't need to pick a number two. That at any point in time, if I have to step down for illness, death, right, or just a wild change of heart, that anybody in the party has
should
the
be able to step.
Has the capacity to step up. And see, because then we cut out the sort of the parts of gangster culture that have taken root, right? Like I have my number one, and he holds the authority unless I'm in the room. If I'm not in the room, then he is me. Because then we see where people have a misconception about what that authority means.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, we do need succession planning, but can we create organizations that mainstream it so I don't have to pick an heir? Anybody in my party will have the capacity to operate in any function if required.
I totally appreciate what you said there just now. Totally appreciate, and I fully understand and endorse your sentiments as far as that part is concerned.
Because let me tell you, Jeff, I bet you one of the most interesting stories that will never be is the relationship between Pinling, Cecil Wallace Whitfield, and Eddie Hanna.
And you're absolutely correct, because many persons do not know of that relationship. And in fact, just mentioning it now, it would be quite interesting to see how many persons would actually go who do not know of that relationship to actually go and do the research and find out what that relationship is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they basically try to correlate that the two parties are basically, essentially one and the same, despite the slight differences between them.
Mm-hmm.
They operate basically under the same principles and philosophies, but it's just that some people carry out the philosophies as they were mandated, whereas some water it down and fix it and make it into something that they want and not what's in the best interest of the Bahamian people. But thanks for taking my call. I'll continue to listen.
No, man, absolutely, absolutely. But succession planning is required, right? But it speaks to something deeper. It speaks to something deeper in our culture, and I think it speaks to what's missing, right? And what's missing is community and family, like I want to call it like infrastructure, like, but there is a hierarchy, you know, not even hierarchy, right? But there's a structure in the family, in the community unit, and it seems as if we don't want to acknowledge what our roles are in a community because I'd be right at, we believe that as soon as we give up the helm, we will be like those we once subjugated. Here's a text. Lewis already engaged the PLP and demanded a cabinet position, and the PLP removed themselves from talking to Iram, leaving him with independent or COI. Okay, so texter, I'm going to treat this text like this is speculative because I don't know for certain, but that does not mean that the PLP are not willing to receive Lewis once he, quote, reconciles with the reality that sits before him, close quotes, and realizes he needs to make a different plan. Like, if I were Mr. Mitchell, that's what I'm thinking. You can turn your head in a minute. You can figure things out soon and realize that ain't no eggs growing where your chicken's laying. Anyway, thank you, callers. Continued. Again, it's open line 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. So here's what I wanted to talk about. I witnessed a couple of videos this weekend, plus had a couple of personal incidents in my car, which prompted me to ask the Bahamian public, do you know the difference between subjective and objective, right? And then I looked at today's paper, Tribune. I see you call. I come in right now. Police still investigating Cruz guest's rape claim. And I realized traffic is not the only space where we don't know the difference between subjective and objective. Let's go to the phone line, though, because, again, it's an open line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Hi, sorry, I miss you. Please call back again, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. And let me tell you something, Family Island people, you all got lots to talk about, and I ready to hear it. So please use the toll-free line, 242-300-5720, to call in and share what is happening in your neck of the archipelago. All right, so subjective and objective tests. Subjective refers to something based on personal opinions, feelings, or perspectives, while objective refers to something based on facts and verifiable evidence independent of personal interpretation. And I realized, stop. We have a problem with the word stop. As the descendants of enslaved Africans, I understand. I want to put it right out there. As a descendant of enslaved Africans, I understand why we would have issues with the word stop. But most importantly, producer, let's prep the caller. It seems that we don't know which test to use when we see the word stop. We don't know whether to use the subjective test or the objective test. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I want to say happy World Health Day to all. And happy birthday to God's second beloved son.
Okay.
You know what that is, right?
You?
You smart there. Go to the head of the class.
Happy birthday, Gunkle. Happy birthday.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, that debacle y'all talking about with business.
Uh-huh.
And them, I know why they ain't finished off no their business yet, but I guess we're going to have to wait to see what him and his family decide to do, right? And all them PLPs need to mind PLP business because they always got an opinion on F&M business. Like my favorite female caller, just say, stay with the F&M business and see what they got to do.
Okay.
That's all I have to say today.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. And first of all, happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, one more thing, Aaron.
Yeah.
That record with the Charles Fox in the state thing.
Uh-huh.
How much money do you think I could bring to you to offer to any school student who can come up with the record for that? I want to.
I'm going to get back to you. I'm going to talk to somebody about what would be a reasonable, like, what the...
I'd like to drop off $50, yeah, for any student who could come up with the record.
Yeah, man, we could do that. But when you drop it off, I want you to also drop off a note, right? I want you to tell me how you want me to say it, how you want me to word the offer, or the most important...
Any school student who could... Fine, come up with the recorded volume for the Charles Farquharson's estate.
Okay.
As well.
Okay, we can do that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Subjective versus objective. See, when you're in your car and you come to a stop sign, it is an objective test, right? Like, there's no feelings involved. The word says stop, and it says what it means. And it means that you should stop. I realize that many people use the subjective test when they approach stop signs. They use their feelings to determine what they're supposed to do when they're driving. But here's the thing. There's no subjective test in driving. There's no seatbelt in your car for your feelings. Simple. It's not about what you feel and what you think. It's about what the law says. And I see this popping up all over the place. Here's one thing that has happened, that has started to happen. Drivers are now ignoring the center lane. They feel like there's enough space in the road to share the lane with you. And what's the big deal about it? Because I'm in your lane with you. That's the most recent example. Producer, let's prep the call. Shortly before that, I realized that people now treat red lights like it's a subjective test. They're turning right on red. They're going straight through the red light. They're blowing their horn at you to run the red light. They're overtaking you and cussing at you to run the red light. But the red light is an objective test, not a subjective test. It means stop, and you're supposed to stop. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. How you doing?
Hey, Rita, yeah, I think the government should just implement bumper cars. What you think about that? Because you all can't drive. They might as well just let everyone just ride bumper cars one time, whereas that no one died. Because the farthest a bumper car could go is probably, what, 10 miles an hour?
That's already what we're doing on the road.
Then second thing, right? You think road traffic is how prizes like your driver's license in the Cracker Jack box? Because these people, I'm sure they ain't take no test.
You know what they have? They have headset prizes in the Cracker Jack box. And they literally giving them out.
Remember back in the day we saw like the decoder ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the decoder ring. And then when you turn over the decoder ring on the opposite side, they have your driver's license.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I want to say good morning to the four people who had traffic on Shirley Street slowed right down because they were on their cell phones. And
you know
see,
what you do with them?
We like to ascribe. What we can do with them? What we can do?
You know what you do with them?
Tell me.
Cane them.
I think I almost at that point. Let me tell you why I think I'm almost at that point, right? Because I have, like, I try to practice empathy. And I can understand why a young boy who has only 24 hours in his day, but he needs 48 hours a day to be able to make the amount of money required to take care of his personal and family needs, right? I could understand why that young man is driving with a kind of recklessness or a negligence because he has to make the most of every moment available to him. But what I do not understand is how privileged people with nice jobs, you know, the type of job where you don't have to be awake until 10 a.m., people with nice jobs are on the road constantly being a hazard to other people because they drive in at 14 miles an hour and using their cell phone. See,
you know what you should do with them?
Pardon? What we could do with them?
You should do with them?
Yeah.
The police should stop them, right?
Uh-huh.
And let them wear donkey costumes.
I think that's what I'm thinking.
Because you know what they are, right?
They're donkeys. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you very much. So subjective test versus objective test. There is no subjectiveness in driving. There's no seatbelt for your feelings. We don't have a car seat for your feelings because some of your feelings are juvenile and childish, right? None of those exist. But after seeing a small white vehicle crushed like a Cracker Jack box and people attempting to remove an individual from the vehicle, right? After hearing of the traffic fatality this morning on Shirley Street, after realizing that I've not seen or heard an update from the tragic incident on the wharf last week, where one of the attendants on a garbage truck's head was compressed in the machine, but there's not even an update on it. I felt prompted to have this conversation. But see, it's not just about traffic. Also, the sign, the Breezes sign, where the car was sitting on top of the Breezes sign, apparently that was in Turks and Caicos, because I was about to ask, where is the launch pad? Where? Because how did that car get on top of the Breezes sign? But there's something else that prompted this conversation, like I saw in today's paper, Tribune. Police still investigating cruise guests' rape claim. And so I had the initial story. Visitor reportedly raped by jet ski operator at Junkanoo Beach in Thursday's Tribune. And I realized, yeah, I wanted to have a conversation for Women's Month, March, that I did not get to. And so I want to have that conversation now. And it is also referencing the objective test versus the subjective test. Because traffic on the road in our cars, that's not the only place where we don't understand what stop means. We don't understand when we need to apply an objective test and when we need to apply a subjective test. And so I've been looking for this particular story for months. In fact, it's not the story. It's a quote from the story. And I always, when I talk about this story, I want to be precise and exact. Okay? The story is National Security Minister says sentencing too harsh in sex case involving teen girl. This is This story was posted in Eyewitness News the 1st of April, 2022. Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe QC said yesterday that he had been the attorney for the, if said that had he been the attorney for the 40-year-old man, sentenced to 4 years in prison for impregnating a 14-year-old girl, he would not have advised him to take such a high sentence because, quote, she consented, close quotes. Monroe was responding to the controversy surrounding the plea deal given to Jason Pratt and the comments from Acting Director of Public Prosecutions, Franklin Williams, that seemed to be blaming the victim for her, quote, highly sexualized, close quotes, behavior. Monroe admitted that he was not familiar with the case. He went on, however, to make a point about the sentencing of similar sexual assault cases, indicating, quote, if you were to rape a virgin and if you were to rape a prostitute, both are rape, but you're likely to be awarded a higher sentence for raping a nun than raping a prostitute. Quote, that's just what the case law says because you consider the impact of the offense, and considering the impact of the offense, you consider victim impact. So that's a part of sentencing, close quotes. And I want to talk about that particular quote for a moment. I hope that somebody has reminded the Minister of National Security to never, ever, ever, ever speak about these matters again. Because how dare you open your mouth and say, if you were to rape a virgin and if you were to rape a prostitute, both are rape, but you're likely to be awarded a higher sentence for rape. We're not in a classroom. You're not at the university teaching. You're the Minister of National Security. It does not matter if the woman is a virgin or a nun. Now, mind you, the charge was the same. Mr. Monroe does say both are rape. He does say that. But you are likely to be awarded a higher sentence for raping a nun than raping a prostitute. I'm just saying, this. I think this speaks to the attitudes that we have around sexual violence directed towards women in this country. And you continue from the article, Pratt was sentenced to 4 years in prison as part of the plea deal for pleading guilty to 5 counts of unlawful sexual intercourse with the schoolgirl. But Monroe said that had he been the attorney in the matter, he would have advised his client to go to trial. Quote, if I were advising the accused and someone gets 7 years for raping somebody, I wouldn't be advising my client to agree to 4 years for unlawful intercourse, because I would say that if we go to court, you would say to the judge, he didn't rape her, she consented. Close quotes. He said, quote, the fact is, in law, her consent is neither here nor there. And if I were the defense counsel, I would have not accepted a plea deal with that high level of penalty, and we would have gone to court, maybe in 5, 6, 7 years' times, close quote. He added, 4 years for a guilty plea isn't a sentence I would advise my client to take. It's not a sentence that, when you look at the actual sentences imposed by the court, is low. So I wouldn't, as a private defense attorney, have suggested that, close quotes. Now, I want to stick a pin in that article, and I want to take us to this article, man sentenced to 20 years for killing girlfriend, 2nd of April, 2025. This article was posted last week. A man was shot and killed his girlfriend and dumped her body in the South Beach Canal. A man who shot and killed his girlfriend and dumped her body in the South Beach Canal was on Tuesday sentenced to 20 years in prison after taking a plea deal. Juliano Dorset, 36, admitted to the April 19, 2023 murder of Yinka Strawn, 42, when he appeared before Justice Janine Weech Gomez. He will receive credit for the 2 years that he spent on remand. In his police interview, Dorset claimed that he picked up Strawn on the night in question. During the drive, they allegedly had a row about her cheating. Dorset alleged that Strawn was accidentally shot in the stomach when he reached for his gun that was on her lap. He claimed that Strawn told him not to take her to the hospital because she didn't want him to get arrested. Let me repeat that sentence. He claimed that Strawn told him not to take her to the hospital because she didn't want him to get arrested. Rather than seeking professional help, Dorset went by a friend and got some peroxide and bandages from a friend's home to treat her himself. However, Strawn's condition deteriorated and Dorset said that he shot her in the head to end her suffering. He later discarded her body in the canal. She was found the following day by men swimming in the area. Weech Gomez commended Dorsett for pleading guilty and wished him good luck in the future. I read that sentence, and I hope the producer's paying attention because he may need to stop me from reading it 17 times. Weech Gomez commended Dorsett for pleading guilty and wished him good luck in the future. The judge said, quote, "Only God could forgive you, but our God is a forgiving God. 20 years may seem like a lifetime, but trust me, 20 years will go by very quickly. So I wish you well in the future." Full stop, close quotes. What is a... That was a moment of silence for the things that I wish to say but cannot. Again, Weech Gomez commended Dorsett for pleading guilty and wished him good luck in the future. The judge said, quote, "Only God could forgive, but our God is a forgiving God. 20 years may seem like a lifetime, but trust me, 20 years will go by very quickly. So I wish you well in the future," close quotes. The story gets even better, people. Dorsett, that's Giuliano Dorsett, 36, the person who admitted to the April 19, 2023 murder of Yinka Strawn, 42. That Dorsett. Dorsett complained about the, quote, "negative environment," close quotes, in maximum security at the prison. He said, quote, "A lot of these individuals are experienced jailers, career criminals. Most days I can't go a day without hearing about murder, about hearing about what gang did this. This one talking about how many murders he did," close quotes. Dorsett claimed that he had previously held a supervisory role in customer service and he was interested in learning a trade. I mean, I couldn't write this myself. Dave Chappelle couldn't write this. The subjective and the objective test. Subjective refers to something based on personal opinions, feelings, or perspectives, while objective refers to something based on facts and verifiable evidence, independent of personal interpretation. We're going to go back to the article, "National Security Minister Says Sentencing Too Harsh in Sex Case Involving Teen Girl." The veteran attorney, we're referring to Mr. Monroe, sought to explain the difficulty to prosecute such a case at trial and quipped, quote, "I wonder who was this man's lawyer," close quotes. Quote, "Those cases are difficult to prosecute because you can have a victim, you can have a statement. And I'll tell you, the greatest problems with these matters, especially when it comes to children, when the case comes to court, the young woman will likely be 2 or 3 years older. She may have a child who is 1 or 2 years old. Now you're the prosecutor. You have to get her to give evidence. She could always be obstinate." Is this from a script from that show, How to Get Away? No, that's a totally different show. That's my bad. Let's continue in the article to the sub-headline in the article, "It's Not Rape." Again, we're reading from the article, "National Security Minister Says Sentencing Too Harsh in Sex Case Involving Teen Girl," Eyewitness News, 1st of April, 2022. "It's Not Rape." Monroe insisted that he did not understand the controversy over the issue because having sex with someone under the age of consent, quote, "is except we used to have this offense called statutory rape. In common law jurisdiction, statutory rape is non-forcible sexual activity in which one of the individuals is below the age of consent, the age required to legally consent to the behavior." See, we're going back to the subjective-objective test part again, right? It's called statutory rape because the statute leaves no room for a subjective test. If they're 16, it's called, if they're under 16, it's called statutory rape. If they have consent, it's still called statutory rape. That's what the charge used to be until we changed it to unlawful sexual intercourse. Now, it is still unlawful sexual intercourse, but we missed the root of the offense and the problem, which is You fail to follow the objective test. And the objective test is if they're under 16, they are off limits. And see, this is why I have this concern about the changing of the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse. Because statutory rape shows you clearly that it's an objective test. If the person is under 16, it does not matter what they say. It does not matter how old they look. It does not matter how many adult words they use or how much money they have on them every time you see them. It does not matter. It is rape. Good morning, Ms. Green. Crime is a business. I wish you well for your crime, my crime. What crime is that? Being a bigoted black lesbian woman who's not afraid to say something out loud before she gets beat with it because y'all like to beat black lesbian women on the plantation. Dexter, that's an interesting text. I'm going to continue from the article. National Security Minister says sentencing too harsh in sex case involving teen girl. Monroe insisted he did not understand the controversy over the issue because having sex with someone under the age of consent, quote, is not rape, close quotes. Quote, the issue is you are being punished because the person is under the age of consent, close quote, pointing to the offense and unlawful sexual intercourse. He continued, no, you're being punished because you're not supposed to have sex with them. Not just that they're under the age of consent. Pointing to the offense of unlawful sexual intercourse, he continued, quote, which means it's not rape, which means that you are being punished because as a big man, you shouldn't be having sex with anybody under 16, close quotes. Again, I will continue to demand the publication of the rationale for changing the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse. We continue from the article. Despite attempts to contextualize the issue, let's like make it make sense, as it related to the case of the 14-year-old and her inability to give consent according to the law, Monroe doubled down on his position. Quote, yes, she could give consent. You can give consent from 7 years old. It's just the law says having sexual intercourse with somebody under 16 with or without their consent, which tells you that the person can't consent. It's just that the law, that in law we say it doesn't matter. Close quotes. Let me tell you what my problem is with that quote. See, I know that 14 and 15-year-olds are sexual beings. They've passed puberty, right? They are sexual beings. We could have a conversation about the scope in which teens or the capacity they have for the expression of their sexuality. We could have a different conversation about that, right? But can a 7-year-old consent? Does a 7-year-old know enough about the world, their body, about sexual intercourse itself? Can a 7-year-old actually consent to the act? You see, we like to call people, we like to use the blanket phrase pedophilia to talk about, to label anybody who has sex with someone under the age of consent. Pedophilia refers to sexual attraction to prepubescent. Producer, take the phone. Caller, you have 30 seconds though. Hebephilia refers to sexual attraction to post-pubescent minors age roughly 11 through 14. Ephebophilia is sexual interest to those in later adolescence, approximately 15 to 19 years old. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds?
Yes. The crime had it that she when he moved in the house. She loved to give sex, to have sex, but it was against the law for her to move in without her parents signing. She's under 18. That's where the crime took place. And that murder case, she's not less than 30. That judge show more empathy to him than the family.
It appears
she
that way.
Like they do like when the horse break their leg, he take them off their misery, he shot her again. That's been 30 plus years. Yeah, that's crazy. And getting back to what you said earlier, Quincy Thompson for on the line now with the party. He's smart. He won't win again. So Menace was on the losing side of the party. So him and Fendi are tight.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, so pedophilia refers to sexual attraction to prepubescent children. Hebephilia refers to sexual attraction to postpubescent minors aged 11 through 14. And ephebephilia is sexual interest to those in later adolescence. I want to go to the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act quickly. Section 10, or Article 10, any person who has unlawful sexual intercourse with any person under 14 years of age, whether with or without the consent of the person, is guilty of an offense and liable to imprisonment for life, subject to, on a first conviction for the offense, a term of imprisonment of 7 years, and in the case of a second or subsequent conviction for the offense, a term of imprisonment of 14 years. So, Article 11 speaks to unlawful sexual intercourse with any person being of or above 14 years of age and under 16 years of age. So our own law makes a distinction, right? There's a separate offense. There's one offense for having unlawful sexual intercourse with a person being who is 14 to 15. And the penalty for that is first conviction up to 7 years, and in case of a second or subsequent conviction up to 14 years. Any person who has unlawful sexual intercourse with any person under 14 years of age, right? We make a distinction. I'm going to continue to read from this article. I'm going to try and pick it up in the next few days. I think it's important to have this conversation because in many sectors of society, it seems as if the problem is we don't understand the difference between objective and subjective. That we are not properly able to reconcile the law, to understand the law, and what it means for us, how it directs our actions and our behavior, because we don't know the difference between subjective and objective. It is unfortunate, but the traffic and the realm of sexual violence seem to be two spaces where this problem is glaringly obvious. It's right in our face. Anyway, I am all out of time. We're going to pick up this conversation later. But stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
So are the rewards. The Water and Sewage Corporation wants to thank you for staying on top of your bills. When you pay your bill in full, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of three Easter baskets filled with exciting surprises. Pay in full before your due date. Complete the entry form and you'll be entered to win. Visit our social media pages for details. Hop to it and win with the Water and Sewage Corporation. Hurry, offer ends April 17th.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.